sometimes. We always try that even after lunch we stay awake. And if we participate, you come back to the wake up lens. We are now going to have MDCA and FBI. Welcome, coach. So you were here earlier on when some issues were raised regarding, you know, terms of reporting and stuff like that. So we would like to get a cooperation in terms of managing time, that we try to be brief and to the point. And also from the side of members, you know, we are used to talking with certain preambles and whatever before we get to the actual point. So all of us, let's try to manage time so that we have that short meeting after the presentation that we plan together as a collective or the committee as to how we move forward. I think we start with the MDBA to do your introduction and we continue the rest. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and afternoon, honorable members, and afternoon, colleagues from the GOC group. My name is Telly Sankoma, I'm the Chair of the MDDA Board. With me is my two colleagues from the board, Mr. Musa Sushange and Mr. Roland Williams. And I also have an executive committee members with me who be dealing with the specific issues in the presentation, which is actually to Ms. Temeli Fesibeko and Mr. Ngozi. They will be dealing with a specific of the presentation. Chair, and being conscious of time, I just want to highlight a few issues in relation to the MDDA performance in the year-end review. And I'm not going to go into the mandate issues, etc., because I'm assuming that it's known by the committee. However, I'm just going to highlight that in the year under review, the MDDA had achieved 6% of its strategic performance areas. The second issue is that the MDDA had focused mainly on the area of capacity building for the year, and the numbers will tell when management speak about the people that had gone under our own training over the year 2014-2015. We must say, Chair, that the impact in particular in relation to the 56% performance had to do with a number of things that the aging effect had started alighting. One of those was the fact that we had lost an executive team that had served the organization for over a period of 8 years. And at that point, we discovered as a sitting board that there was no sufficient internal succession planning. So in essence, that when we lost the executive team, it meant that the board is actually in the process of rebuilding. And the process of rebuilding, also the board was not correcting for a while, and it meant that the board cannot actually proceed with senior appointments within the agency. However, and also that has also affected our audit. Even though we've received clean audit, Chair, but we have regressed in terms of other internal controls that are related to supply chain management, contract management. And so that's why I thought I must just be upfront about some of the institutional weaknesses that we experience. However, Chair, within that, let me also hasten to say that we have few achievements that we could highlight. Amongst those is that we participated in a digital migration process. We supported the national elections last year through the support of a grant for community media and training for community media to be able to report on a national election. And within that as well, we started the process of ensuring that we develop a better relationship with municipalities so that they can spend 30% of their ad spend within the community media. But we had initiated that process last year, and I mean, I think when you appear for the 2015-26 reporting, we'll be presenting a completely different picture in terms of the progress in that area. With that, Chair, I'm going to hand over to our acting COO to take us through on the specific project areas and the and how the organization has fared on other areas related to finance, human resource, and operational management. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'll go through the project achievement through the year under review, and I must note that most of our work in terms of project is reliant on the approval of whatever was present on the board and on applications received for that particular financial year and the projects that we need to strengthen going forward. So under the year review, we managed to support new three community radio stations with digital equipment and two community newspapers and one community radio with online presence in terms of the audio streaming and two community newspapers online presence and in terms of being available electronically. Under the year 2014-15, one of the challenges that we faced as the agency is the withdrawal of funding by the Print and Digital Media South Africa, which affected our target severely, in the sense that we only managed to fund three small commercial newspapers in that particular financial year. Before the withdrawal of the funding, our target for small commercial publications or small commercial newspapers was 10 projects. However, due to the withdrawal of funds, we only managed to get some sort of a leeway or funding from the National Fiscal in order for us to be able to fund the three newspapers. In terms of research, training, and development, we covered about 400 beneficiaries that were trained in terms of content development, financial management, and governance. And our annual report does provide a detail on those trainings that were conducted, but there's a slide here that we've included that gives a breakdown in terms of the number of people in the area. We also are maintaining a database for trainers and mentors, and we have a media literacy and culture of reading summit that we hold in each and every financial year in partnership with the Department of Education. We also have a monitoring and evaluation unit, which in the year under review, we managed to revise our M&E framework and our M&E template. We'll also give down the line the details in terms of the projects that they monitored during the financial year. Those were the 93 projects, 55 visits were conducted, and 33 desktop monitoring was conducted under the year. In terms of the challenges around delivering on the project, one of those is around the board not being able to form a quorum. As I've indicated, our performance is dependent on the board sitting, and there are three board sittings that are meant to actually approve projects. And unfortunately, the last two board meetings couldn't form a quorum. As a result, we couldn't be able to deliver on our target. But I can proudly say that now that we have a collating board, in its sitting, which was July, we managed to get secure approval for 16 projects, which were 10 community radio stations and four newspapers. And also, one of the challenges that we experienced is the high staff turnover. particularly within the relative positions that the board chairperson has mentioned, and also the budget allocation that I've already indicated in terms of the withdrawal of the print media funding. This is a list of the programs. In terms of the program A, we've got community media, which focuses on broadcasting. We've got small commercial media, which focuses on entrepreneurs and independent publishers. Research and training, which ensures capacity building and development, including monitoring and evaluation. So those are the details in terms of the appropriation for each financial year. We also have the legal and contract unit that provides our legal services and contract management for the agency. We also have the HR and corporate affairs, which looks after our human resource capital. Also has a risk and management unit that enables us to ensure that we limit our negative impact and organizational or environmental risk. I'll come to the summary of projects supported in the under review. With regards to community media, that's the total, 6 million was the total value of approved projects. With regards to community radio, it's 5 points that was approved, and there's nothing that we did on community television. And basically, the money, the amount that was approved, and the total amount that was approved for the year under review, 8.9 million. This is the detail of the project on this particular slide. This is the detail of the projects that were approved and the kind of support that we are giving to each of the community radio stations that were approved in the areas that they are based. But basically, in all the community radio stations, we ensure that we equip them with digital broadcast infrastructure in terms of on-air and production studios, equipment, and contribution towards salaries, transmission costs, or the training and operational costs. In terms of the broadcast languages, that's what each radio station is licensed to actually broadcast by ICASA. And all our radio stations, or all the radio stations that we provide support on, are the radio stations that have been verified by ICASA in terms of ownership, and we also do the same on our side. We just come the slide to explain about the difference between community and small commercial media print. The community print that is we're talking about is the print that is community owned. It's owned by the communities and their issue based and newspapers that are owned by non-governmental organizations. So in the year under review, we managed to support two of those, which is one is based here in the Western Cape and another one in the Northwest. Basically, with all the print publications that we support, we provide support in terms of printing, distribution, operational costs, and extraction. As I've indicated, there's little that we have invested in terms of the print sector due to lack of funding in that particular sector. With regards to training, we have just given a detail in terms of the number of delegates that have attended each and every workshop that we've conducted or training that we've conducted. To talk a little about the content development seminars, the MDDA in the previous financial year and even in this current financial year, we are focusing more on actually assisting the beneficiaries to improve on their content, because we have discovered that it is also important in terms of the sustainability. it's not only the advertising that assists or the revenue that comes in that assists in terms of sustaining a community radio station or a community newspaper, but it's the content that is carried by that particular medium in order for it to attract advertisers or in order for it to attract the market or the wider audience. On monitoring and evaluation, that particular slide just provides an overview in terms of the provincial footprint or in the project that we have monitored. Sometimes monitoring is driven by a certain crisis or certain conditions that are happening on the ground that demand us to go down there and actually monitor certain particular projects, particularly with regards to compliance issues. This particular slide just gives you a snapshot of all our programs and our sub-programs. The red bar gives you an indication on what we planned to achieve and could not achieve on each program and what was achieved on each of the programs. Human resources, the vacancy rate, the overall in terms of overall staff complement in terms of our organogram for the year under review supposed to be 32 staff members, and the number of posts that were filled during the year under review was 17, and the vacancy rate was at 15 by the end at 31st March 2015. Following slide gives us an indication in terms of the vacant position as at 31st March. I would say that some of the positions have been filled. Position of the project officer community media has been filled. And the position of the project officer research training and development, the candidate that was appointed withdrew. Appointment, we're in the process of actually looking at the next best candidate that was interviewed during the period. Otherwise, the other positions remain vacant. Okay. In terms of the employment equity, those are the figures in terms of the males that we have within the organizations and the females being the majority of our staff members. With regards to governance, I think the issues that relate to government, the portrait person has touched on. We currently, the board consists of 9 members, and 6 members are appointed on the recommendation of Parliament, 2 members are appointed by the President, taking into consideration the funding of the agency. We, the board, during the year under review, held 5 meetings, but did not comprise a quorum in the last 2 board meetings due to board members' terms expiring. Our Risk and Audit Committee managed to hold its 4 meetings as required. In terms of the audit outcome of 2014-16, with regards to audit opinion around financials, we, in the year under review, we received an unqualified audit with a regret. On the pre-audit determined objectives, we received an unqualified audit as in the previous financial year. And finding on compliance, there was a regret, which we'll address in the next slide. Those are the findings and the remedial action or status of each of the findings going forward. The first finding is on the restatement of corresponding figures, that is in terms of employee costs and grant costs. found out that the employee costs that are incorrectly classified as grant costs. However, we are saying the employee costs have been adjusted to reflect all the costs, particularly those of the team responsible for the project. There were also corresponding figures for employee costs, and we have done adjustments accordingly going forward. There was also finding around property, plant and equipment, that zero value assets still in use. We are in a process of actually looking at how we dispose of and replace those assets. Also, another finding was around non-compliance with the laws. And the Auditor General found out that the annual financial statements must be prepared in terms of the TFMA. We are in the process of adjusting that accordingly to meet the requirements of the TMSA and CLAP. And that the quarterly reports were not submitted to the department timelessly. We have since started to have bilateral meeting with the minister and the board in order for us to be able to address and respond to that particular finding. With regards to the key root causes, the root cause is an instability. I think the Auditor General has also alluded to that fact in terms of the key positions. And the MDDA is in the process of filling those vacancies, and the board is in the process of actually looking at how we fill in the position of the CEO, CFO, and other key positions. We have made a commitment to the MDDA that the key management personnel will be filled before the end of the quarter three, that is the current quarter, and that the compliance report will be reviewed by the audit committee on a quarterly basis, and that interim financial statement is prepared by management and is reviewed by the internal audit committee to ensure compliance, and that three key strategic positions will be filled on or before the end of the third quarter. On the financial statement held at 31st March 2015, we receive our funding from the DOC, and during the year 2014 there's been an increase on the broadcast funding contribution and the interest therefore come from the current conditions. This is the previous slide is clearly explained on this current slide. That 21.8 million was received as a grant for the year, compared to 20.7 received. And this money was used to fund projects and administration for the agency. The broadcasters have contributed 32 million compared to 35.8 million in the previous financial year. And overall, the decrease in terms of the funding that we received externally was due to the non-renewal of the agreement with the PDMSA. And therefore, the interest that we received on that financial year has increased slightly. In overall, the income received for the year ended 31st March decreased by 3% compared to the prior financial year. However, broadcast funding became the largest contributor of our funding. That is the annual budget versus our expenditure in the year under review. The better part of our expenditure and our funds is on programs, which in terms of the disbursement in the year under review, we managed to actually disburse more than we did in the previous financial year. And also with regards to administrative costs, there was an understanding which was due to the high staff turnover. And also there's a challenge around the depreciation of our assets. This is a summary of the expenditure under review, where we indicate that disbursement was at 36 million. And in terms of spending on our administration, we spent very less. In overall, our expenditure was 56 million as compared to 57.6 million in the previous financial year. We also making a statement of our financial position in the last slide. To say that the cash on hand reflects a huge amount of committed funds as the agency releases funds in tranches, and the cash equivalent increased by 2.4% compared to the prior year. We therefore saying that in terms of the financial year, due to the fact that we release our funds in tranches, they get carried over in the next financial year. On the use of consultants, we felt that we need to also reflect in terms of how we use the consultant and what we use for and how much we have spent on the consultants during the year under review. We also note on the irregular fruitless and wasteful expenditure for the year. We did not incur any irregular expenditure, and the internal controls and supply chain management were enhanced and compliance was monitored regularly. However, we did have 21,000 on interest that was incurred from a case that we had at the CCMB during the year. The amount was considered irrecoverable and therefore was written off. There were no contingent liabilities at the end of the financial year, and there were no litigation against the agency. So basically, that an overall summary of our annual financial report.
Thank you very much, MDBN, and members are still taking notes and getting ready for that round when it comes to questions and comments, of course. We now come into FBI for the presentation. It's after lunch. Bear with me, sorry. Okay. Good afternoon, again. Also going to introduce yourself for you to the presentation. Thank you.
Security Alert. Wonderful. completamente la seguridad security.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, honorable members. And I think we're going to start whilst my colleague Tendigo is fixing this. Honorable Chairperson, FBI has got a particular reputation. And some people look at it as one of the most excellent run organizations. And some are actually quite fearful of the organization. And I do hope that at least with FPB, our mandate will be seen differently. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And we are presenting the annual report 2014 to 2015. My name is Temba Wakashe. I'm the CEO of the Film and Publications Board. And on my right, I've got the CIO, COO, CIA. And Sipho Rasiba, who's the Chief Operations Officer. On my left, I've got NIA. And the CFO, Richard Holt. And my colleague Vivian, who's our Chief Information Officer, actually responsible for our ICT. We have got two colleagues who are still making their way here because they thought that the presentation will be tomorrow, and that is Ms. Vanessa Gadi and the Deputy Chairperson of the Council. But we will proceed. The presentation today, Chairperson, I will make the, do the presentation on the first part of the presentation. The COO will take us through the performance. The CFO will take us through the financials. And the CIO will take us during the time of questions, particularly when it comes to the issues of technology, which are actually quite critical for the Film and Publication Board going forward. The presentation outline is up on the screen. We will talk to the mandate of the organization, its vision, mission, and values. We will talk to our priorities and the annual report, organizational achievements and challenges, and then I will hand over to the COO to deal with the measures of performance and so forth. Then we will get into finance, and then we will take questions from the honorable members. Honorable Chairperson, the mandate of the Film and Publication Board is derived from the Film and Publication Act, Act No. 65 of 1996, as amended in 2004 and in 2009. And you will notice that next year, Chairperson, 2016, the Film and Publications Board will be celebrating its 20th anniversary. FPB is mandated to regulate the creation, production, and distribution of films, games, and certain publications. We are not mandated to censor, as many people think that our organization still is. Historically, of course, we come from there because prior to 1994, what today is Film and Publications Board was the Censorship Board. And after that, then the democratic dispensation and the constitutional democracy, a new act was then passed in 1996 to establish a new mandate for the Film and Publications Board. The vision for the organization is that we see ourselves as a leading and credible content classification authority in South Africa, but not only in South Africa, and also in the continent. Our mission is to ensure efficient and effective consumer protection through regulation of media content, whilst empowering the public, especially through children through information sharing. The values of our organization, it's about accountability, fairness, integrity, transparency, and professionalism. Over the next the governance structure, FTB governance structure comprises of the following bodies, and which is the council. The council has got 9 members, but one had resigned, so we're left with 8, and therefore we're able to do the work of the organization. There are no problems with Koran. After that, the council has got 5 subcommittees, council committees. One's the Audit and Risk Committee, the Chairperson's Committee, Finance Committee, Human Resources and Remuneration Committee, and Operations and ICT Committee. We then, Chairperson, have got an appeal tribunal, and they can reclassify things, and then people are not happy with the rating that has been given, but there is a framework for appealing, and has that independent appeal tribunal. And it has got 7 members as stipulated by the Act, and it currently has got 5. We have had 2 resignations. And then we have got the EXCO, myself included, our Chief Operations Officer, our CFO, Chief Information Officer, and Shared Services Executives. Now, it seems as if my president, okay. In terms of the legislative framework, of course, the supreme law of the country, the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, and especially the areas that relate to the Bill of Rights, Rights of Children and Child Protection, and the Film and Publication Act itself. We also take into consideration PIA, as well as the classification guidelines that look at the processes of classification and age ratings for the industry. Our 5-year priorities going forward, I've already indicated earlier on that we intend being a leading organization in content classification, both in our country and in the continent, and informing and educating South African society to empower adults and protect children against harmful content. And there's a lot of that harmful content that is doing the rounds presently, particularly with smartphones and so forth. Last week we had an international conference in Johannesburg, when we were looking at the harmful content that is out there in the public domain. And South Africa is not alone in this one. And we had presentations from Europe, from the US, from the continent, and that challenge is a big challenge for us. Thirdly, Chairperson and honorable members, we currently have got amendments and that have been approved by the cabinet, and those will be coming through to this committee for further deliberation. Fourthly, the fourth priority is to develop and maintain local and international partnerships. And fifthly, we want to be a knowledge society, a knowledge-driven society. So you are going to be focusing on research, compliance and monitoring, as well as evaluation. And I just want to emphasize one thing in terms of priorities, is that we are going to focus a lot on the ICTs, because going forward, you will notice that our work has actually dramatically shifted from manual classification to online classification. And the challenges that we're facing are no longer the same challenges that we were facing 5 years ago. Our challenges are now the challenges of technology, and that technology is global. In terms of our achievements, the first bullet there talks to our international partnerships. We have been elected to the International Association of Internet Hotlines, and we're sitting on the board there. This is a worldwide body with 45 countries represented. And during this financial year, we have classified 2,151 materials. And out of that, there have only been challenges. Our decisions have been challenged on only three, which actually means that there is something right that we are doing. And thirdly, we have just finished national consultations and on online regulation policy. We are now integrating the inputs from the South African public into that policy before we submit it to Cabinet and to Parliament for consideration. We've run a very successful compliance monitoring internship programs, and I've talked to the matter of the legislative review, and that when I said that we have classified 2,151 and there have only been 3 cases of challenges, I think that talks to that bullet that says that we had done a convergence survey, and the results of that survey indicate that 91% of South Africans that we surveyed in Northern Cape and Western Cape, they actually agree with our classification categories. And now we have completed a research on assessing the impact of media material on children. And this one is a very fascinating study, honorable members, because one of the things that come out of this study is the fact that South African children are becoming desensitized to violence. And there are some other trends that are coming out there that point out to certain things that need to be done in terms of social cohesion. And we also will be launching next year a professional certificate on classification, and this is a specially designed course with UNISA, and we're launching it next year and as a certificate. But ultimately, that will be a degree in classification. There is no country in the world presently that offers any degree on classification. And we thought that partnering with UNISA on this will actually meet the demands not only of South Africa and the SADC region, but we can then also offer training for the continent. We have got new revenue streams of licensing fee for content distributed online that we introduced, and the response has been very good, and the CFO will talk to that. We have introduced cost-saving measures which has led to the decrease in consultation fees. And lastly, on that slide, we have received, we've managed to recoup a repayment of fruitless expenditure by service provider to the tune of $500,000. This was actually a $1.2 million. Now we have managed to recoup all of that fruitless expenditure back to the coffers of the FPB. We have increased the internet bandwidth to support our call center operations. We have successfully implemented the automation of our administration system, that is the electronic management system for classification, FPB online for registration trends and file management. We have concluded an MOU, South African Post Office, for distribution of certificates for 10 days turnaround. And this is very critical because it impacts on business operations. And the market always demands that there must be certainty in the business arena so that they can operate to their maximum. So that is our response to that. And we have also had a new cohort of classifiers which we have appointed for a three-year term. And there is, honorable members, something that is hardly ever noticed in terms of the work that Film and Publications Board does, and that is the protection of the intellectual property for the artists, filmmakers, and other creatives. And during this financial year, we have conducted over 70 raids and with law enforcement agencies in Western Cape, in Northern and Central Region. And during those raids, we managed to confiscate over 20,000 of illegal and pirated DVD material. That is only on three regions. And over this period, 9,657 inspections were conducted to targeted distributors. And we also have concluded very promising distribution agreements with Apple, with Altec, with BlackBerry, and Multi-Choice. And this is going to be a new trend going forward, and it is a very promising space at the present moment, and that is where the potential revenue for the Film and Publication Board is, I see it forthcoming. With that kind of arrangement in place, we will rely far less on state distribution than from the business that we will be doing with Apple, Altec, BlackBerry, Facebook, and so forth. So that's an area of achievement. In terms of challenges, the online content regulation and possible delays in legislative amendments, the user-generated content, and that's the challenge of the cell phones and the smartphones, and the shift in content submitted for classification from physical submission to online submission. And that is the area of the future for the Film and Publication Board. And the ICT is absolutely critical there. So the upgrading of the ICT infrastructure is absolutely critical for us going forward. And this is compounded by the digital migration because the volumes that we're getting now are becoming bigger. Distributors' access to financial records of balances and delays in the issuing of invoice for classification registration is a current challenge, but we are able to address that going forward. And last slide, I just want to emphasize on the last two bullets, which is a consistent insistence by distributors to get ratings even before classification process is finalized. And while it is within the stipulated turnaround times, this is actually very critical because this is the market pressurizing us to divert from our processes that are laid down by law. So if that's a challenge that is there, and I would like to bring that to the attention of the Portfolio Committee. The other challenge, the last one, is the complaint from members of the public about cinemas not allowing admission of underage children to movies. And this is the parents themselves. When there is a rating of a particular movie, and then they will come go there with a child, and the rating probably is about 14, and they'll pull in with a child that is 12 or 13 years old, when cinema say, but this child looks young, they cannot go into the cinema, and the parents then say, you've got no right to tell me how to raise my child. It's a troubling trend. Chairperson, I'm going to hand over to my COO to deal with performance and our strategic objectives, and then after that, the CFO will deal with the financials. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Thank you, Chairperson. Our CEO has dealt extensively with all of these matters. Perhaps what I can do is just to amplify and give context to some of the key areas that he has touched upon insofar as they relate to our mandate. So from the onset, I must indicate, Chairperson, that our work is centered around five strategic objectives. And this slide is an overview, and obviously my presentation is an overview insofar as what each strategic objective entails in terms of the targets that we've set ourselves, which also guide our work as we discharge our mandate. I'll start with this slide, and just to highlight the key areas, as the CEO has already touched on most of this. And then just by mentioning that technology, Chairperson, has disrupted, for instance, our classification processes, and we've had to come up with some of innovative ways to make it possible and easy for industry and distributors to classify and to register. And one of the things that we did was to introduce the online registration and classification system for gamers. And this is a system that is running very well. It's fully functional and operational. And then for the financial year, we've received a number of games, and obviously we sampled 19 for audit purposes. And our findings were that there was full compliance insofar as legislation. And also, there was no manipulation or falsification of information by distributors. So they are coming on board in terms of utilizing the system for what it was meant for. Our work around classification as well, the CEO has already touched on that. The pool of classifiers that we've had, and also the training program that we've introduced, starting to see the results that yields, insofar as the limited number of appeals, medical taken on appeals. This best testimony to the work that we do around the training of these classifiers, because you also remember that these are people that we take from various backgrounds, and some of them don't necessarily have an understanding in terms of constitutional imperatives. Some have never even been in a court of law, but we take them through these processes to educate them, so that they're then able to make legally sound and valid decisions. So I'll not go through sentence by sentence, as the CEO has already touched on this. I'll then skip on to the next slide. Insofar as the target on inspection of distributors that we have overachieved, and I think this thanks to the work of our committed compliance monitors who go across the country to ensure that distributors, particularly cinemas and retailers, comply insofar as labeling of classification decision material. And although we do have challenges in terms of cinemas allowing younger viewers to watch age-inappropriate material, but overall, there is compliance, and then where we do come across challenges, we do try to assist them in terms of stepping in and try to address those issues. We also do a lot of work around online inspections. So this is one of the key areas insofar as the technological developments and advancements is concerned. We're starting to see a lot of illegal content being pushed through new media and social networking sites. This also includes hate speech, propaganda for war, explicit sex, and lots of things which are pro prohibited in terms of the legislation, also in terms of the constitution. So in order to deal with these issues, we employed online monitors who are also certified content analysts in terms of the in-home standard that the CEO refers to. So they're then able to go into these sites, check for this illegal content, and where we come across content that may be disturbing or offensive, we contact the administrators or also report some of the, if it's child porn, report this to online. So there's a lot of work that we're doing around this. But also what you realize is that there was a need for us to start treating our young people and learners as stakeholders, and it was for this reason that we developed the training manual on cyber safety for educators. So there are plans to roll out that with the Gauteng Department of Education, so that out of that exercise we can then identify some of the gaps so that we can then close them before we can roll out the training to the entire country. The idea is that we want to introduce this type of education so that our children can become cyber smart at an early age. So this is one of the initiatives that we are doing around cyber safety. So now moving on to the next slide. One of the things that I think we have come to realize that for us to begin to make a meaningful impact, we need to ensure high visibility in terms of some of the projects and programs that we embark upon. More participation in public programs and education programs. And in this regard, we have our communication strategy, which has been approved and implemented. And there are a number of programs that have since been carried out in terms of that. And to date, we have reached close to 7 million people insofar as some of the initiatives that are outlined in that communications strategy. Of course, the online regulation policy, amongst others, and some of the programs that were aired on SABC television also gave us mileage in terms of publicity. And I think also that the figures are there as well for everyone to see. Moving on to the next slide, we had a target around the implementation of a joint online protection program with the Department of Communications and other government departments. This is work that started way back in 2012. So when we now became under the Minister of Communications, which is it's a program that we continued. As we started back in the days, I think at the time we worked closely with the Deputy Minister, but we continue to work with the Ministry so far as this programs and all other departments. And this is essentially around ensuring that our children are protected when they engage on online activities. There's also work that was done with the Nelson Mandela Municipality in terms of outreach activities around cyber safety and initiatives that are geared towards online child protection. The turnaround structure assessment being implemented here, members remember that as Film and Publication Board 2011, we reviewed our turnaround structure in terms of making sure that people with relevant skills are employed in key positions. And there was a process that was followed in terms of ensuring that by at least the end of the financial year 2014-2015, make sure that all the vacancies that were identified are filled. And at the end of the financial year, we're looking at 98% insofar as that, which I would submit that it was full compliance insofar as what we have said to for ourselves in terms of achievement. There were one or two positions which were not filled, but overall we managed to fill all the vacancies. the remuneration policy, again, it talks to that in terms of ensuring that there was alignment between our remuneration structure to that of the public sector. There was a submission that was made to the ministry, to which we are still awaiting feedback, and we hope that the ministry will come on board in terms of assisting us so that we are then able to retain and ensure that the intellectual human capital that we have remains intact, as there will always be obviously, like remuneration, one of the things that will always lead people to look for greener pastures elsewhere. So it is important for us to retain the top of, because we invest a lot in terms of training and capacity building. So it will be a very sad story to see these people leaving after we have invested so much in them. And of course, in terms of the FEB annual review, we do that as and when that is required with our council, and I think this also enables us to also look at some of the policies and to ensure that we also put in place cost-saving measures. And as you'd see one of the slides, that to date we have managed to save approximately 9 million insofar as cost-saving measures are concerned. In terms of the call center, the CEO also touched on this. We have three regional offices which are fully functional. We had issues insofar as DPW coming on board, assisting us in procuring offices, but there was a decision that was taken later in the year where they said we can go ahead and try to source and procure our own office space, which we did, which permitted us finding a space in Musgrave. So there are plans to try to finalize that process so far as the Cape Town region is concerned. We are still being housed by DHA, and I see that they are running out of patients. So we hope that very soon DPW will assist us in terms of finalizing that process. ICT strategy, of course, we needed to come up with a strategy to deal with the technological advancements, which have said that they in a way disrupted how we do business, and we had to come up with ways to ensure that we adapt and stay relevant to the issues that are brought by this new technology. So in this regard, we developed and have the ICT strategy approved by our council. All that is outstanding now is for the strategy to be implemented. So there was a procurement process that was followed, self provider was identified, and there are plans to ensure that in the current financial year the strategy is implemented, because one of the things that we are looking for is to procure tools for online classification, online compliance monitoring, and overall the training and upskilling of our staff, because you'll understand that it is important in the space that we operate that we continuously upskill as we operate in a knowledge-based environment and industry. So it is important that we continue to upskill our employees. And I think this also talks to the online regulation strategy and also the information hub. This is part and parcel of the ICT strategy implementation, which we hope to achieve by the end of this financial year. The next slide, these are some of the international engagements that we from time to time engage with. As you understand, the Freeman Publication Board has a subject region engagement strategy with a view to ensure that at least countries inside a common board and we join hands insofar as coming up with measures geared towards online child safety. As you know, the challenges that we face here at home are not only akin to us, but are challenges that are faced by the rest of the African continent. So it is important that as pioneers within the African space, we begin to empower and impart knowledge within the SADC region and try to influence policy around issues pertaining to child pornography, child exploitation, and responsible use of new media and social networking sites. So this also gave birth to the recent FPB conference that was hosted last week. But these are some of the partnerships that we also, apart from that conference, these are some of the partnerships that we also were involved in and concluded with some of the key strategic institutions and stakeholders in the year under review. Just to give you the specifics and figures in terms of the material that was classified in terms of gender, again, I think this is self-explanatory, but maybe just to emphasize the ones that normally would create panic if you find that there's a lot of these is around refuse classifications, which we didn't really have much, except for the four cases that you see there. These are cases that were referred to us for verification by SAPS. These are not films that came from distributors for us to classify, and then we said, no, they contain child porn. We work closely with SAPS, and from time to time, when they come across material that has that is pornographic, they send that material to us for verification. One example is the Bishop case, where someone was found guilty of multiple counts of child porn. This after we had examined the material and confirmed same to be constituting child porn, and the guy was sentenced to 3 life imprisonment. So that's the type of work that we do in collaboration with the law enforcement. But insofar as the other genders, I think this is self-explanatory. If there's questions, I can maybe respond to them later. In terms of appeals, you also see that if you look at the initial decisions and also the final decision that are awarded by the appeals tribunal, there's not really much of a difference except for maybe like the descriptors. If you look at the second appeal, our classification commission given it a 16 LVDS, and then the appeals tribunal agreed with the 16 in terms of the age category, but disagreed with us in terms of the descriptors. So again, it means that we operate from the same parameters. There's not really much of a discrepancy around that. Child sexual abuse material in the year, there's 169 cases that were referred to us. This is through the hotline that we have, the FPB online website, and also cases that we were referred to us by SAPS. And out of the 169 that were referred to us, and also the site that we identified by our online monitors, 55 of that were taken down and removed, and then 12 of them were reported to law enforcement. These also include to referrals to InHop, because some of these websites are hosted outside the country. But in total, the cases that were found to be child pornographic, there were 12, and these are the cases that were referred to SAPS. So the 62 cases that were referred to us by InHop were found not to be child pornographic. And 33 were child pornographic, but InHop could not establish the country of origin. But these are cases that were subsequently, these are sites that were subsequently taken down. Compliance rates, also I think the numbers are self-explanatory. The CEO did indicate that we confiscated close to 20,000 illegal and pirated DVDs throughout the country, and I think I might just indicate that these are targeted, and we work closely with SAPS. The reason why we cannot do them monthly is the fact that we need to plan with SAPS. So most of the time they're not always available to assist us. So what we do is we do this raise quarterly. But I think we've done quite well, because the minister was also concerned about the fact that we're not being seen to be doing enough insofar as combating piracy and so on and so forth. But I'm pleased to report that we have done well insofar as at least doing something about it. And we continue to do this type of work. And these are the provinces where we conduct all of these raids. I think this is also self-explanatory. Media coverage, I've touched on this. This emanates largely from the online regulation policy, which I think you are all familiar with by now. The issues that were covered or emerged from the media engagements were around the draft online regulation policy, insofar as some feeling that it's too broad, and I think some were saying that we have chewed more than what we could swallow and all sorts of things. But like the CEO has said, I think we have really done well insofar as engaging the public and eliciting their views and comments around the issues. And we are now at a point where we are consolidating and will be submitting a final draft very soon. And I think this is overall the percentages in terms of performance. We achieved 78% overall. And in terms of vacancies, I also request that this one also be taken as read unless if there's specific issues that I need to address. I'll then hand over to my colleague to take us through the financial report.
Thank you, CEO Chair. On the annual finance report, what we'll look at is just a statement of financial performance. What we'll go through there is just maybe do a variance analysis between the 2 years, and basically also in this slide indicates a surplus, accounting surplus of 5.6 million retained in the 2014-15 financial year. On the next slide, to just explain the variances, 87.9 million was received as a grant for the year. This was under the Department of Home Affairs. We currently move to the Department of Communications, compared to 82.6 million received in the previous financial year. There was a slight decrease due to the fact that we received additional funding for the development of the online content regulation. 6.3 million was generated from regulation fees as compared to the 4.3 million in the previous year. This increase was basically due to the implementation of the annual license fee that was highlighted by the CEO as well. 1.6 million was disclosed as other income compared to the previous year. There's quite a jump in the other revenue. That's basically due to the recovery of the irregular expenditure and its interest revenue generation. Overall income received for the year, 31 March 2015, was 86.8 million compared to 87.1 million. So quite a comparable basis. On the next slide, we'll have a look at the expenditure. The staff costs amounting to 41.8 million. This including 4.1 million paid to our classifiers for the financial year. There was an increase compared to the previous year, mainly due to the filling of vacant positions and additional posts identified. Operational expenditure of 36.2 million reduced from the previous year. This is basically due to our cost-saving measures and also the grant that decreased for the online regulation policy of campaigns and consultations relating to that. The FTV recorded a surplus, as I've mentioned, of 5.6 million for the year, end of the year. These surpluses were committed for the new financial year and subsequently also approved by National Treasury. Just to highlight, 99.6% of the total grant received was indeed spent for the 2015 financial year. The next slide will show cost-saving measures. It's basically also comparing on a line-to-line basis of expenditure to the previous year. We'll see our biggest savings there were basically on consultation, professionals, fees, public relation campaigns, travel and workshops and meetings relating to an amount of 9.1 million rand. The next slide, I'll just briefly touch on the audit report. The AG did deal with that. But basically what it said was we had an unqualified opinion with material non-compliance matters, of which one is the submission of financial statements subsequently corrected, and effective steps to prevent irregular expenditure was also flagged as a material non-compliance area. On the next slide, just to go through the finding categories, you'll see the ACM is the supply chain management. It's eight findings that was raised there, and that's a serious issue for Foreman Publications Board. Other areas of concern was in disclosure, which is the review of financial statements, making sure it's accurate when it's submitted to the AG. The other two areas I wanted to highlight was revenue and receivables, expenditure and payables. These are just basic areas where the controls are a bit lacking that we need to work on, otherwise that could become also material issues for us in the future. On the next slide, reports of use of consultants. Sorry, just to report on the progress against findings. Sorry, CEO. We did implement an action plan, auditing action plan, where we monitor our findings. This has also been submitted to the Department of Communications to show them the progress made against findings. Most of the findings are projected to be done or controls implemented by the end of this quarter or the 14th quarter and by the end of the financial year. Use of consultants, we had to use some consultants on research, of conversion surveys, and on ICT, which amounted to about 1.3 million rand, almost 1.4 million rand. On the next slide, irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure raised. This was also flagged by the agency area of concern, so this will just give us a bit more detail on what happened in the case of FPB. You'll see the irregular expenditure of almost 1.1 million rand that arose in the previous financial year. Also, that's the one we related to that was fully recovered since from the supplier. So there, the consequence management is the indication that we're doing that. The 3 million rand was raised by management as well after investigation, indicating non-compliance with legislation or legislated SCM processes. Implicated officials resigned or contract has since expired since this investigation. The investigation also recommended disciplinary action, which was taken by the FPB management against certain staff. Again, the consequence management that was done by FPB. Then 3.3 million rand was detected by the AGSA in this current or in the 14-15 financial year. Basically, what happened to this, the FPB supply chain processes didn't submit the SPD, a standard bidding document 6.1, for bids above 50,000 rand and below 500,000 rand, informing the bidders that they'll be evaluated on the 80-20 preferential procurement point system. So unfortunately that was not done, but after subsequent evaluations we did apply the 80-20 principle. We just didn't inform the, when we requested quotations, that we will be using that system, which in the end made it irregular expenditure. Fruitless and wasteful, traffic fines almost 16,000 rand, interest paid almost 500 rand, funds have been recovered from the responsible employees and the disciplinary actions also taken by the form of written warnings issued against the employees. On the next slide, litigations. We had the litigation against New Africa. That's the one, almost 1.1 million rand that was fully recovered, so that matter has since been, or recently, quite recently, been resolved. The next issue was the dismissal due to misconduct. That issue was also finalized. Dismissal confirmed through the CCMA. Then there was a dispute of a payment of 114,000 rand. This is still pending. There's the issue about the summons, or the summons is still in dispute. And then there's another matter pending, alleged unfair dismissal motion that's settled. We filed a notice of motion to the labor courts, and to date, the NPA has not yet filed on in answering the affidavit. And that's the portion on the finance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think we have come to the time of engaging in terms of questions and comments. But before we go to that, can we quickly take a short break, tea break? I think the tea is cold now. And we come back and continue. Still being mindful of time. Thank you.